Well, let me invite you to open your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 3. And this morning we'll be looking at verse 20. And this passage is primarily a message to the kids. It's not often that we get to specifically address the children in the church, but this is one of those passages where we can do that as the Spirit of God is leading the Apostle Paul to give direction to children. This passage not only is relevant to children, it's very relevant to parents who need to understand what their responsibility is in this, also for grandparents. And if you don't fit in any of those categories, well, then you can make a spiritual application to yourself being a child of God, I suppose. So everyone is included in one way or another. So please give careful attention to the reading of the Word of God as it addresses children. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now, to remind you of the context, the Apostle Paul is working his way through the family relationships and giving godly instruction to each member. He has been talking about how the grace of God brings the new man into the believer's heart. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. We've been transformed by God's grace. And the new man, the work of grace in the heart, will create new family relationships. And so he has instructed the wife in her relationship to her husband. He's instructed the husband in his relationship to the wife. And now he changes focus and he's going to work on the parent-child relationship. And in this verse, he talks about the duty of the children to the parents. And then next week, in the providence of God, which is Father's Day, Paul is going to address the fathers in their responsibility to the children. So now he's dealing with that aspect of the family relationship. I can almost see the Apostle Paul, as he's writing this, in his heart, he's probably bending down to talk to the little children in the church, and he's telling them what God tells them they need to do. So the Apostle Paul has a heart for ministering to everybody within the body of Christ, both the old and the young. And in this sense, he now has his eye on the wee ones, the little ones within the church, because what God says to them is of vital importance. Our kids are precious gifts to us from God, speaking as parents. What a blessing they are to us. They do so many things for us. You know, they entertain us by their antics and by the things they do at times. It has been said that a small child is someone who can wash his hands without getting the soap wet. Children are just kind of like that. They have their own little ways. Sometimes they challenge us and try us. When it says that the trouble with children is that when they're not being a lump in your throat, they're being a pain in your neck. And sometimes our children teach us just a simple form of logic and reasoning. Like a child who is described as a person who cannot understand why someone would give away a perfectly good kitten. And in all of this, we learn to cherish and adore and love our children because of just the different phases they go through as they're growing up. But the Apostle Paul has in mind one word to the children of the church, and that is they are to be obedient to their parents. Now, why is Paul saying this, and why is it so difficult for children to always obey their parents? And why is Paul emphasizing this in this letter to the church at Colossae? Well, many parents, sadly, find the disobedience of their small children cute and even entertaining. They get a kick out of that so-called innocent little child running away when the parents are calling that child to them. They smile and they laugh at their children when they tell their children no, and the children immediately go ahead and do it with a sly little grin. There's something almost cute about that, and parents sometimes will look upon the disobedience of their children with almost an entertaining eye. I know in our family, the favorite picture we have in our family, I'm talking about my parents and my siblings, is a picture, a collage, with each of us four kids. I'm one of four in my family. And my little brother's picture is just the favorite picture of the entire family, because the other three of us are sitting there, you know, and we have just decent smiles on our face. But my little brother has this devilish, ornery little look, like he just stole the crown jewels of England and got away with it or something like that. But he's got this little grin on there like he just did something bad. And we look upon that and we laugh and we delight in it. And sadly, parents have a tendency to overlook this sinfulness and this disobedience in small children, and we tease about it and laugh about it and find it cute, but what we're really doing is we're feeding the dragon inside of them. The reason why Paul is telling children to obey their parents, and the reason why children struggle with this, is because by nature, children are sinful. They're not born into this world innocent. They're not born into this world with some kind of a neutral type spiritual scoreboard. They are born sinners into this world. Remember what Proverbs 22 verse 15 says. It says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And this foolishness, the word for foolishness in Proverbs 22:15, is the sinful variety of foolishness. It's the foolishness that is associated with rebellion and the evil kind of folly that comes from a sinful heart. It's a kind of foolishness that does sinful things in the eyes of God. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. It's not just to the side of it. It's actually chained to it. Foolishness in the heart of a child is like a straitjacket. It wraps around them. It ties them up. They are bound up with foolishness. And that's in the heart of a child. So that folly wraps around the child's heart in a suffocating grip that they cannot escape from. The child in Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, is a very general word. It can refer to a newborn babe. It can refer to a baby that's 3 months old in the Scriptures, as it referred to Moses at that age. The same word for child can refer to a small child who's just weaned. For example, Samuel is described that way when he's 2 or 3 years old. This word can also be used of young boys and also of young men who are of marriageable age or able to go to war. It was used of Ishmael when he was 14 years old, Joseph when he was 17 years old. So from infancy to young adulthood, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And notice where that foolishness is bound up, in the heart. It's not just hanging off the arm or tied around the neck. It has penetrated into the very core of that child's being. It is bound up in the heart of a child. The heart, as you know in the Scriptures, refers to the very hub of the person. It's the grand central station out of which the mind and the volition and the emotional pathways lead from. The heart is the control power. It's the hard drive of the inner person. And what binds the heart binds the person. And so what the Spirit of God is saying is that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. So that this is the reason why the Word of God commands the child to be obedient to their parents to help offset that inner foolishness that comes with a child's heart. Solomon says that children from their earliest ages are born fools. They are inclined to folly. They are inflicted with sin. They are full of foolish rebellion. So children, obey your parents. This, in God's grace, will help deliver you from that inner foolishness that comes by nature in our hearts. And again, this starts from the earliest of days. Psalm 58, verse 3 says that the wicked are estranged from the womb. Psalm 51, it also goes on to say in Psalm 58, 3, that those who speak lies go astray from birth. Psalm 51, 5, and in sin my mother conceived me. In Isaiah 48, 8, you have been called a rebel from birth. In Ephesians 2, 3, by nature we are all children of wrath. So this sin nature has infected and penetrated into the very inner core of that child's life. And this we can give thanks to Adam, because it was his sin in the Garden of Eden, the original sin, whereby every child from conception on, really, has not only been made guilty of Adam's sin, but we have been given a sinful nature that expresses itself from the earliest days that we're able to feel or think. So in light of that, the Scriptures address children. They're not innocent. They have a sin nature. And the Word of God to them is, obey your parents, because your parents will help guide you in the ways of wisdom rather than in the ways of folly, which your own heart is full of. Even little children, even from the earliest days on, you can see it. A little bitty baby has a sin nature. You can see it. When they want their way, they can cry and get upset. When you try to lay them down, they'll bounce right back up. You can see that rebelliousness in them. One theologian described them as little vipers in diapers, because it fits the very sinful core of the human nature from infancy on. Don't you think that a small child is not a sinner? They are a sinner, and they need the grace of God. This casts a huge shadow of doubt on any concept of the age of accountability. Sin knows no age limit. As soon as a child can think, it can sin. As soon as a child has affections to display, it can sin. The terrible twos are not terrible because suddenly they go from a state of being innocent into a state of being terrible. No, they were terrible from day one. It's just now they're able to get around and crawl fast enough and walk fast enough so that now they get into trouble before we can get to them. They're more mobile. That's why they're the terrible twos. But the ones were terrible, and the months before that were terrible, because sin has infected the heart from the very beginning. That's why I love those property laws of a toddler. I've shared this with you before. Forgive me for doing it, but I get such a kick out of it. It's evidence of original sin. You don't have to teach children to be selfish and stingy. I mean, it comes with the nature of the heart. So to show the values of a toddler and their values of sharing and their laws of equity and justice, this is how a toddler thinks when he's in a playground with toys around playing with other kids. These are the property laws of a toddler. If I like it, it's mine. If I saw it first, it's mine. If I can take it from you, it's mine. If I had it a little while ago, it's still mine. If it's mine, it must never appear to be yours in any way. If you're playing with something and you put it down, it automatically becomes mine. But if it's broken, then it's yours. Those are some of the property laws of a toddler. And that's why the Scriptures address children of all ages to be obedient to their parents, and why Paul emphasizes it here, because their nature is bent to go their own way and to think that they are smarter than their parents, to think that they know better than their parents, that they're able to make the right decisions better than their parents. And so that's why they have this inner tendency to rebel and complain and disobey their parents. And the Apostle Paul says, children, that is sin. Obey your parents. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to God. It obviously takes God's grace to help a child do this, but this is the commandment of God to the kids. So let's look at this a little closer. In verse 20, it addresses the children. Paul is not talking to parents here. Children, the Apostle Paul, the ambassador of Jesus Christ, this great man of God, is bending down, looking at you children, talking to you. Paul is talking to the kids. Kids, are you hearing? Are you listening? This is specifically given for you. Obey your parents in all things. Now, the reason why this is so applicable today, it's always applicable, but our society in particular is trying to drive a wedge between parents and their children. There are forces at work to turn kids against their parents, to look upon their parents as being backwards and archaic and foolish. I remember about 4 or 5 years ago on a Saturday morning, something, I forget what I'd been reading or something, but it was talking about how a lot of the children's programming on Saturday morning is very anti-parent. So I got up on Saturday morning, I thought I'd turn on the TV and see if I could watch some of it. And one of the programs that was on for the kids shows these hip kids doing all this kind of stuff, and it brings in their parents. And it made the parents look ridiculous. I mean, they were dressed in backwards kinds of clothes. They had real odd-looking glasses on, outdated hairstyles. And it was the intention of that program to make the parent look like a fool that nobody would want to respect, and that no right-thinking child would ever honor that kind of people in their parents. And I got so irate, I wrote a letter to the TV station complaining about it, and they actually took that program off the air, thank the Lord. But this is the kind of mindset that we have in our society. Everything is trying to tell children, in one subtle message or another, that your parents are not worthy of being honored or obeyed. And this is what we're up against. Parents and parental authority is being legislated out of the window. Children are being given more and more rights of freedom from their parents' influence and from their values. And yet the Word of God is clear. Children, obey and honor your parents. This is no minor issue. And then you may say, well, you're just kind of overstating. It is no minor issue. In Romans chapter 1, when the Apostle Paul, who loves to give long lists of some of the vilest, most wicked sins imaginable. In Romans chapter 1, and he deals with the sins of homosexuality and all kinds of wickedness and evil, including murder and slander and hating God and being inventors of evil. In that list of sins, you know what he includes? Disobedient to parents. In Romans 1, that made the top 10 list of the sins that are destroying a culture and showing the very apostasy of a people. In addition to that, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, when Paul gives another list of sins which describe the wickedness of the last days, he says men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents. So in both of those grievous lists of sin, disobedience to parents makes both of them. They're in the top list. This is no minor issue. Children, let's look at your responsibility and duty in verse 20. Be obedient. Be obedient to your parents in all things. The word obedient, it's interesting. This particular word for obedience is actually the word to hear with a preposition under attached to the front. So it's really emphasizing the idea that you need to listen carefully as one who is under the authority of another. So obedience begins by listening carefully to what your parents are saying. It's very important to understand that obedience begins with listening. So kids, if you have a tendency not to listen to your parents, or if you're listening to them and you're doing everything else and you're not, you need to stop and look at your parent and listen to them. Be obedient. Obedience begins with listening. Obedience also involves not only careful listening, but then doing what you've been asked to do. Hearing must be followed up by action. And in this, I want to emphasize that true obedience is instant obedience. If your parent tells you to go and clean your room, and you say, "Oh, I'll do it later," that's not obedience. Slow obedience is no obedience. And delayed obedience is really disobedience. Children, when your parents ask you to do something, you need to obey them, and you need to obey right then. So obedience involves careful listening, doing right then what you've been asked to do, and letter C, or next, doing it with a right attitude. No grumbling, but a respectful, cheerful obedience. Don't be like the little boy when his mom told him to go sit in the corner. He obeyed, and he went over and he sat in the corner, but in his mind saying, "In my body I'm sitting down, but in my heart and mind I'm still standing up." You got to have the right attitude when you obey. You need to ask the Lord to help you do that. You know, the great example, kids, for you is Jesus Christ. Because when he was a child, it says that he continued in subjection and obedience to his parents. So even the Lord Jesus Christ is your example. And I find that just fascinating, because Christ is the example to the wife, Christ is the example to the husband, and Christ is example to the child. It's very important that we always look to Christ. And the reason that you're supposed to obey your parents, kids, is because God has given your parents to you as a blessing, to protect you, to teach you, to do good to you. And it may be hard for you to believe, but they are a lot wiser than you. They have lived a lot longer. They've experienced things that you haven't experienced. And God gives them to you as a blessing to you. And you should honor them because of that. So that your obedience to your parents is the hallmark of your role in the family. You are under the authority of your parents, and your job is to obey your parents. Now notice here in verse 20, not only are you to obey, but you're to obey your parents, plural, mom and dad. That doesn't mean you can run over mom and you only have to obey dad, because dad's bigger and stronger and swings a paddle a little harder. Yeah, you may have a tendency to want to obey dad, but you run over your mom. God says to obey your parents, mom and dad. And a wise dad will always make sure that those kids are obedient to their mother. Notice also it says in all things in verse 20. And the only exception to that would be what, kids? What would be the only exception to your obedience to your parents in all things? It would be what? They asked you to do something that was what? Sinful. And the chances of that happening are pretty nil and void. So you're to obey your parents, probably, in most situations, in all things, with very few exceptions. All things includes, even when sometimes what they're telling you to do might appear to be harsh or unjust. Maybe you don't think it's fair. You still need to obey them. Only if they ask you to do something sinful, then your obedience is to God first. But it includes just about everything. You know, what amazes me that Isaac, when Abraham was ready to sacrifice his own son, Isaac, there's no evidence that he rebelled against his father. He actually submitted himself to his father when his father was about to take his life. That's an incredible act of obedience. And yet it seems like that's what's in view here. So you're to obey your parents when they tell you to clean up your room or make your bed or carry out the trash or mow the lawn or clean up the supper table or pick up your stuff scattered around the house. Whatever it is, you are to obey your parents in all things. Another part of this is that obedience also implies honoring. And if you'll hold your place here just for a second, turn back to Ephesians chapter 6. Because the emphasis of obedience in Colossians is really a subset of a greater principle found in Ephesians chapter 6. Notice in verse 1 what Paul says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now that's very similar to what we read in Colossians 3:20. But now look at the biblical reason and support for this obedience. He goes on to say in verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So, honor your father and your mother. So, obedience to your parents and honoring your parents really are dovetailed together. You cannot have one without the other. And so here, you are also to honor father and your mother, just as you are to obey your father and your mother. Well, where does that come from, kids? Honor your father and your mother. Where does that come from? It comes from the Ten Commandments, doesn't it? Does anybody know which commandment that is? Commandment number 5. So God in the Ten Commandments, one of the Ten Commandments is aimed at children to remind you of the importance of this duty, to honor your mother and your father. Your father and your mother. These are not suggestions. Again, this is what God commanded children from the top of Mount Sinai. This is moral law and it lasts a lifetime. We're always to honor our parents. So kids, the way you do this, the way you honor mom and dad is that you respect them. You value them. You believe them, what they tell you. You have a greater tendency to believe what they're saying than to believe what you're thinking. That's how you honor them. You honor them by listening carefully to their instruction. You honor them when you believe that mom and dad is wiser than I am. They know better. You know, there was a TV series. You smaller kids would not know this, but there's a TV series that used to say, Father Knows Best. And boy, talk about an archaic idea today, but that communicated a biblical reality and principle of how children are to honor their parents. Father knows best. Mom knows best. And you honor them not only by obedience, but the way you value and respect their opinions. And this means whether they give you a yes answer to your question or a no answer, you honor them. Because both of those answers are part of your training to make you into a mature, godly individual. You need both the yes and the no answer. And I know your heart because I know my heart. And when I get a no answer, I don't like it. And I know when you get a no answer, you don't like it. But part of honoring mom and dad is when they say no to something you want, is that you respect them and you believe in your heart, well, they must have a good reason and they know better, so I will trust in them with that answer. And I tell you what, that does not come natural. you need the grace of God to help you do that. But that's what God is telling you kids. This is not God telling me to tell you. This is God speaking directly to you. Honor your father and your mother. God is telling you that. And of course, this touches the very attitude of the heart, which means that you dishonor your mother and your father when they tell you something and you scrunch up your face and you do all this kind of stuff and you from your eyeballs are coming bullets and darts at them like a machine gun. That's how you dishonor mom and dad. Is by the way you look, by the tone of your voice when you answer, "No, I won't do that." That's dishonoring your father and your mother. It's by the way we reflect through our face, we can either honor or dishonor our parents. You should not be rude, kids, to your parents. You must not rebel against them. You must not say no to your mom or your dad. God says that is a sin. You are to obey your parents. You are to honor your parents, and God will hold you accountable. It's interesting in Proverbs 30, verse 17. If you want to know whether God takes this stuff seriously or not, it says, "The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it." So when you look at mom and dad and you're angry and you're upset and you look at them and you're mocking them and you're speaking words of scorn against them, God sees and God hears. And you should fall on your knees and ask God to forgive you and confess your sin to your mom and dad and get that sin buried away. Because God knows and He knows the heart. Now, the motivation, kids, for you to honor and obey your parents, look back at Colossians 3, again, verse 20. This is well-pleasing to the Lord. The Ephesians 6 passage says, "For this is right." It's the right thing to do, in other words. When you obey your parents in all things, Christ Jesus Himself in heaven is pleased with you. In the Lord's heart, He's looking at you and He's saying in His heart, "Well done, thou good and faithful child." In effect, He is pleased when children deny themselves to obey and honor their parents. When they're willing to give up that to do what mom and dad asked them to do. Christ is well pleased. He's happy. He is pleased with them. And it's the right thing to do because that's what God has commanded you to do. And you know why this pleases the Lord? Because when He sees a child being obedient to their parents or honoring their parents, you know who He thinks of? Himself. Because Christ was obedient to His Father. Christ was in subjection to His earthly parents. And when He sees you, young child, being obedient and honoring your parents, He says, "I see My grace in that child's heart. I see some of that grace, whether it's common or special, but I see some of Me, some of My grace in that child's heart that's enabling them to do that." And He is well pleased. And kids, that ought to be a great encouragement to you. Because Jesus Christ didn't come to do His own will, but the will of His Father who sent Him. And when you're obedient and you're doing what mom and dad want you to do instead of what you want to do, you're being like Jesus Christ. You're imitating the Lord Jesus. And that's a wonderful thing to try to imitate. The Ephesians 6 adds another motivation that if you obey and honor your parents, it will go well with you and you'll live long on the earth. In other words, kids, you will receive many blessings from God and from men if you have that kind of a heart attitude to obey and honor your parents. You will be looked upon by adults as being special, I assure you. Other adults will see your behavior. They'll look upon you, the respectful way you talk to mom and dad, the way that you speak to them in words that show respect and honor, and they will be impressed with that young person. And that kind of a child is the one who will grow in favor in the eyes of God and man if you learn to deny yourself and be obedient to God and to obey and honor your parents. On top of that, things will go well with you and you'll live long on the earth. These are general principles. It doesn't mean that a godly child never dies early, but it's a very general, broad principle because you will be protected from many dangers and pitfalls and sins by listening to your parents. I don't know the number of stories of children who grew up rebellious and they would not listen to mom and dad. And mom and dad would try to guide them and they would not have it. And they would go out and run around with their friends that would be doing all these illegal things or these immoral things, thinking, well, I can do that. I'm on my own. And they end up paying a dreadful, terrible, sorrowful price because they would not listen to the wisdom and the guidance of their parents. Things will go well with you if you learn to obey and to honor your parents. Those children who do not listen and get involved in sinful things will one day wish that they had done what their parents had told them. There's a third motivation. Not only, number one, it's well-pleasing to the Lord. Number two, that it will go well with you and you will live long on the earth. But number three, the disobedience will bring great trouble and sorrow into your life. Kids, you must take these words to heart because children who disobey and dishonor their parents don't know the troubles that lie ahead of them in life. You realize this was such an important thing to God that when God was instructing the children of Israel and when God was giving His revelation to Moses, that one of the things He told Moses, one of the laws to enact is that if a young person grew up and they were disobedient to their parents and they would not change and they were disobedient and disobedient and disobedient, you know what the parents were supposed to do? They were to take that child out and throw the first stone in having that child stoned to death. You know why? Because such a sinful heart would corrupt more and more people. And it would eventually bring down the nation. And today within our culture, we are encouraging children to disobey and dishonor their parents. And I tell you, America and any nation that goes down that path will have a terrible price to pay. But for the child, he would lose his life at a young age. That's how wrong it is for a child to continuously disobey their parents. Listen to what happened to Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, who offered strange incense because they wouldn't listen to God or their father. And God struck them with fire, and those two young men were struck down and they died because of their disobedience. Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, they didn't respect God or their father either. And so they brought a curse upon themselves, and they were killed by the Philistines, and through their foolishness, the Ark of the Covenant was lost to the Philistines because they wouldn't obey and honor their father. Absalom rebelled against his father David, and he paid a terrible price because he ended up as a young man losing his life as Joab rammed several spears through his body because he would not honor his father and obey his parents. And oh, do you remember that incredible story about that large group of young children that were outside the city of Bethel? Do you remember that story? And here comes Elisha, the great prophet of God, the man of God. And apparently Elisha was old and he was a little more than thin on top. I think he was bald-headed, and the little children had no respect, no honoring, no desire to obey the prophet of God. And so they said, "Go up, ye bald head, go up, ye bald head." Go up, maybe because Elijah had been taken up to heaven in a chariot of fire, and they thought, "You need to be taken out of here and quit telling us what God has to say and corrupting our families and our parents. Go up, leave us alone, get out of here, you bald head." And you know what the man of God did? He was led by the Spirit to pronounce a curse on those children. And God caused two bears to come out of the woods. And those bears started chasing those kids. And those kids, no doubt, saw the bears coming. And their eyes got big. And they started screaming and yelling, and they started running as fast as they could. And the big old bears were just coming down on them. And they were screaming, trying to find some place to hide. But it was too late. Children, it was too late. And before those bears got through with those sinful, disrespectful, dishonoring little children, 42 of those young lads were so torn up by the bears they died. Because God desires for children to honor and respect those in authority over them. Why did God put that story in the Bible? That's not a very pleasant story to think about, is it, kids? It's not very fun to think about little children that get torn up by bears because they're disrespectful to a man of God. But there are several lessons that God wants you to learn, kids, from that story. One of those is that God takes notice of what you do and what you say. Do you realize that God hears every word that comes out of your mouth? God knows every thought that's in your mind. Every disrespectful word to mom and dad, every disrespectful word to your teacher, every disrespectful word to anybody, God's ear is bent towards your mouth. He hears every word. It matters to God how you talk. It matters to God whether you honor and obey your parents. In God's eye, children, is always upon you. And if you, however, are old enough to displease God by your words and your actions, you're old enough to please Him as well. Because the Lord not only hears the bad things, He hears the yes, ma'am, yes, sir, I'll be happy to do that. He hears the good things as well. And you can live for God now. You're not too young. You can live for God. You can strive to honor Him and obey Him by honoring and obeying your parents. And you can bring pleasure to the Lord God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, by the way you submit to mom and dad. You can live for God. And God takes notice of everything that you do. The second thing you can learn from this is that it is wrong to let bad words come out of your mouth. Whether you say them to your brother or your sister or to mom or dad, it's wrong. Don't ever mock someone that loves God. Don't ever look at a Christian, an individual that maybe they're a little different in their devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, but don't you ever mock them if they love God like these children did. You learn to respect them, admire them. You want to be like them. But these children were not. They let bad words come out of their mouth. And it's wrong when those words come out. The third thing we learn from this, the obvious thing, is that sin brings a lot of sorrow. Sin brings trouble. And the only way to short-circuit that, children, is to immediately repent. When something has come out of your mouth that has been disrespectful to mom or dad, or you've said something, or you've disobeyed them in one way or another, you should immediately turn to God and confess it as sin to God, because you have first and foremost broken one of God's commandments. You confess that sin to God, and you ask for the Lord to forgive you based on the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for sinners like you. You turn to the Lord and you repent and you get it right with God. And then you go to mom and dad and you confess it to them and you ask for them to forgive you and you acknowledge your sin to them. That's the proper way to deal with these things, because otherwise that sin, unrepented of, will bring great sorrow into your life. Well, just a brief word to parents. Parents, this is what God has told our children: to be obedient to us in all things, to honor their father and their mother. We need to teach them that. It's our responsibility to teach them that. So we need to work with our kids. We need to remind them of the fifth commandment. Have them memorize it. Have them think about it. Confront them. Use that commandment of God whenever they are dishonoring or whenever they disobey their parents. We need to correct them in love. We need to be consistent with these things. We need to work towards first-time obedience with them, because that's what honors the Lord most. Parents, we need to remember that we have a God-given right to be obeyed by our children. God has commanded them. We should not waive that responsibility, because we'll only do our children harm. It's for their blessing that we require of them to honor and to obey us. Otherwise, we will be a party in bringing a curse down upon their own heads. Overly permissive parents are not loving their children more, but they're loving them less. And remember that although they are our kids, they really belong to God. They are stewards. We are stewards of them. So we are held responsible to doing the best that we can to train them up in these things. When we do not discipline them when they sin, then we do them a great disservice. It's popular today to say, spare the rod, spoil the child. But that's not what God says. Spare the rod, hate the child. Proverbs 13:24. You're not just spoiling, you're hating them, because you're allowing their sin to dominate their life. If your child has a strong will, you must do what you can with the grace of God to conquer their rebellious will. Use instruction, use admonition, certainly use the Scriptures, counsel them, use the rod when it's willful and rebellious disobedience, but we must do what we must do to try to bring them to obedience. Child psychology today says, oh, that's bad. Don't do that. You'll hurt their little self-esteem. But Susanna, the mother of the Wesleys, who had about, I think, 89 kids, was it, or something like that. I mean, she just had a ton of kids. She said that the greatest duty of a parent is to break the will of their children. Break in a good sense. Make them tender. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Parents, we need to work with our children. We need to seek grace and wisdom from God in how to do it, because we're sinful too. We make mistakes. There is no perfect child. There is no perfect parent. We all need the grace of God to help us. Secondly, parents, be patient. You don't grow an oak tree overnight. Don't be discouraged by the slow progress of our children. Sometimes you may feel like you're losing your mind, and sometimes we're on the very verge of doing that in our parenting responsibilities. Someone once said, insanity is hereditary because you get it from your children. And that's more oftentimes probably true. But be patient. Again, they're struggling with their own sin. Be patient. Pray for them. Look to the Lord for grace. And thirdly, remember that only God can change their heart. You can be the perfect parent. You can do everything right. Doesn't mean your kids are going to learn the lessons. You need to recognize that we can only do what we can do, and God must do the rest, or it will not get done. I mean, you can do everything right, and it may not mean that your child is going to grow up to honor you and obey you. So plow the ground, pull up the weeds, sow the seed of God's Word, and then pray for God to send the rain and cause the growth, because only He can do it. I rebel against a lot of this child-raising material out there that says if you do A, B, C, and D, you're going to produce a little Christian. That absolutely is a denial of the sovereignty of God. And it will make you, it will torpedo your heart, because you will live with the guilt for the rest of your days thinking it was my fault or I didn't do this. Do the best you can. And that best, we all will realize, is not as good as it could have been. But do what you can. Look to the Lord. But know that God and God alone can change the heart. He can take a heart of stone and turn it into a heart of living flesh. We cannot. Only God can. Well, children are an important part of the family and the church, but they're not born into a state of grace. They must be trained. They must be taught in a loving and a consistent way so that they learn obedience, that they learn to turn away from sin and to live for Jesus Christ. And Lord willing, next week we'll look at the fathers and how we can be a very important part in that whole process. And we'll look at our role in training our children, Lord willing, next week. But to the kids, let me just encourage you that in the love and the grace of God, He has your best at His heart. And that's what He says, to obey and to honor your parents. Because when you do that, you'll bring many blessings into your life. That in and of itself will not save you. As a sinner, you still need to acknowledge humbly before God that you are a sinner, that you need the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. You need to come to Him and acknowledge your sin to Him. Draw near to Him and receive from God the free gift of everlasting life. If you come to Him with a humble heart, confess your sins, He will forgive you and He will help you to honor and obey your parents, which is well-pleasing in the sight of the Lord. May God help you to do that. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank You that the Spirit of God, in moving the mind and the heart and the hand of the Apostle Paul to write this letter, teaches us, Lord, that Your heart is for each member of the family to live a life in such a way that they honor and glorify You. And Lord, we pray for the children in our church. We pray for the little ones and even the grown-up ones, Lord, that You would do a work of grace within their hearts, that You would lead them to walk in the wisdom of the Word of God, that You would give them a tender heart to obey their parents and to honor them, to look upon their mother and their father in a way that maybe they've never seen before, that they would value and treasure these gifts of God that the Lord has put in authority over them. And Lord, give them hearts to come to You. More than anything, Lord, we desire that our children come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and live their life for Him. That is our heart, O God. So send down Your grace, Lord, into every little heart here today. Lord, crack open that rock and stony heart. Lord, infuse it with life from the Spirit of God, that it might love You and desire to honor You as they seek to honor their parents. And Lord, we thank You that by Your grace all things are possible. And there's not a child, no matter how old or how far away, that is beyond the reach of the hand of providence. So God, work mightily, save, empower, sanctify for the glory of your name. And we pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.